You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, this is the spoken edition of Wired.
To bring on the robo-cars, scientists must understand how humans ride. By Arian Marshall. What do you look like when you're excited? How about a little nervous? Bored? Full-on freaked out? If you happen to hop on one of the two very special shuttles that are now running one-mile loops around the University of Michigan's North Campus, a bunch of people with fancy degrees may very soon find out. Those shuttles, you see, will drive themselves. And these researchers are affiliated with the University of Michigan, the marketing firm J.D. Power, and Navya, the French maker of autonomous vehicle tech. They're going to spend the next year studying how humans interact with, use, and feel about the autonomous vehicles, with the help of rider and community surveys, Wi-Fi data, and camera footage from inside and outside the vehicle. The shuttles will come with human operators on board to deal with passengers and take control of the vehicle if there's an emergency. The number one question we're trying to understand is user trust, says Carrie Morton, the deputy director of M-City, the university's public-private partnership dedicated to studying and advancing autonomous vehicles. How does consumer trust change over time with their increased exposure to the technology? While no one has launched the sort of go-anywhere, Uber-like service many envision as the best use case for driverless tech, less ambitious autonomous shuttles have been running a variety of short, limited, and low-speed routes in the U.S., Singapore, and Europe since at least 2014. The companies working in this space are verging on commercialization, and that means they can't wait to figure out how people use and feel about using their products, and, of course, to sell them on them. The players in this space are many, as are their pilot projects. Phoenix-based Local Motors and its cute little Ollie van has tested in Europe and the U.S. Detroit-based May Mobility has hosted demo projects in Florida and Michigan and says it will announce its first commercial project any day now. Easy Mile has tested on public roads in the Netherlands, Taiwan, and California. Drive.ai will start using its tech stack on shuttles in Frisco, Texas this summer. In the U.S., Navya has taken its game not only to Michigan's campus, but to the University of Florida and University of Minnesota, and to Las Vegas, where its very first day of operations was punctuated by a headline-grabbing fender bender. They would all like to know, how do you introduce people to autonomous vehicles without totally terrifying them, without scaring them away forever? To that effect, researchers affiliated with this Michigan project will study what goes on inside and outside the shuttle, where riders choose to sit, when they decide to ride, and how drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians react to the driverless thing moving around them. They'll also use surveys to understand how perceptions change as the pilot progresses. They already expect a slow, steady increase in faith. We anticipate once riders see what's going on, that's going to shift their attitude into something that's more positively associated with self-driving, says Kristen Collage, the executive director of J.D. Power's Human-Machine Interface Practice, which studies how consumers interact with new vehicle tech. In this way, autonomous shuttles have been something of a self-driving Trojan horse, an unexpected way to bring self-driving tech into the most guarded cities. These vehicles stick to short loops around campuses or office parks. Maybe trips to and from the office and the office parking lot. Don't expect them to top 20 miles per hour. Are you yawning yet? That's what developers want. Of course, the folks developing more adventurous self-driving tech, like Waymo and General Motors, have their own programs to see how riders act inside their cars. A limited amount of research, mostly out of Europe, suggests those who take rides on such shuttles are mostly satisfied with their experiences and willing to take them again. But these small surveys also show that riders are only willing to regularly use autonomous vehicles if they can get them from A to B quickly, reliably, and in comfort. Developers won't get points for developing cool-looking tech. It also has to make their lives better. This is the open question with all autonomous driving technology, not just shuttles. How will the companies pouring money into fancy engineer salaries make money off their technology? They'll be watching some Michiganders to figure it out.